Ephesians 6:14.
Ephesians 6:14 says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." All right, stand and having your on the belt of truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. In the southern countries of Southern America, South America, and north, the north of the central part of America, there is a small little animal that lives in those warm climates called an armadillo. An armadillo is a little animal that has very small teeth. He can't defend himself with his biting. But God has made him very special. He's given him a coat of armor. And that armor is like a shield around him. And if something scares him, he rolls up in a little tight ball. And it's just a ball of armor there. His feet are tucked in and everything's tucked in. There's just this little hard ball of armor. And nothing can get at him because of the way God made him. And then when the coast is clear, he opens up again. It's a little bit like our echidna, but the echidna uses the spikes, and this he uses shields or armor that is around him. And that reminds us of what we're looking at here tonight. We're talking about armor that God wants us to wear, particularly a breastplate of righteousness. And we're going to be looking at that. And we need to ask ourselves three important questions about this piece of armor as well so that we can learn how we need to apply it to our lives. First question is this. Of what significance was the soldier's breastplate? All right, we need to know what the breastplate was, how it served in order for us to be able to benefit from it. Now, first of all, let's think about the coverage. What did the breastplate cover? All right, the breastplate covers your breast. You know, it doesn't cover your feet. The breastplate was for your chest, but it also not only covered the chest, but many times it covered both sides. It hung down the front, it hung down the back, probably fastened along the sides, but it covered both your front and your back from your neck down to your waist, and it then the belt would cover the middle part, and then you'd be protected on down with other armor. So the breastplate covered that central part. And covered all your vital organs. You know, so all your heart, lungs, and all these kind of things. The vital organs were protected by the breastplate. Now, how was it designed? Well, the breastplate in the Bible that is described by that using of the soldiers here was one that it had different rings and plates, almost like fish scales that they had designed and put together in a way they overlapped each other like fish scales, but they were hard out of metal, but because they were just hanging on rings like that you could move and it wasn't just like in a stiff old, you know, being a kind of a tin can wrapped around you, but you were able to move in it because of all the way that it was designed. So it was very cleverly designed, but the arrows and the spears couldn't penetrate it because of the heaviness of the metal. And sometimes it became quite heavy, as we see one example here we'll look at in a moment. And this, in the Bible, there's four different names for this type of armor. Four different names. The first is the breastplate that we're talking about here tonight. But the three others that are found in the Old Testament are it's called a coat of mail, it's called a habergeon, and it's called a harness. Those are the three other ways the King James translates it in the Old Testament. A habergeon, a coat of mail, and a harness. All right. Now, as some examples of these things in the Bible, we find that Goliath, the famous soldier that David killed, wore a coat of mail. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 5, it says, "And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail." That's this habergeon, this breastplate. And it weighed the weight of the coat of was 5,000 shekels of brass. That's about 70 kilos. Now, he's a big dude, but that's a heavy bunch of metal to carry around when you're trying to fight in a battle, 70 kilo. And so it was a big, heavy piece of armor that would protect him so that nothing could penetrate. You know, the swords and the spears just bounce right off because they had this metal around them to protect him. We find the habergeon described in Uzziah's army. In 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 14, it says, "And Uzziah prepared for them, his soldiers, throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings and to cast stones." So he gave all his soldiers habergeons, these breastplates, these protection over their breast of their body. Also called habergeons in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 16. Nehemiah 4:16 says, "And it came to pass that from that time forth, that half of the servants wrought in the work, and the other half held both spears and shields and bows and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. Now, what was the situation? They were building the wall, rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem, and there was enemies trying to defeat them, and they were threatening war against them. So Nehemiah set half of the people to work building on the wall, and the other half he made them soldiers. And so they would trade off, and half of them would be soldiers today, and tomorrow you get to work, and the next day you get to be soldier, and back and forth. I think is the way they did it, to be able to protect themselves while they're working. So those are some biblical examples of this breastplate, or habergeon, or harness, as it's called in the Bible. Now, how does God apply this breastplate to spiritual armor? Alright, that's important for us to see. Our verse before us, Ephesians 6 verse 14, says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Now, it's important that we get the "stand therefore," because it applies to the three statements. He says, "Stand therefore," first of all, having your loins girded about with truth. Secondly, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Third, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So those three things go with the phrase "stand therefore." So they were, remember we talked in our quiz time that "stand" meant to stand firmly, unmovable. I can go through the storm and I'm not going to budge. I'm not going to crumble. I'm going to stand strong. And he says, "Stand therefore, having on the belt of truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness." And so tonight we're looking at this breastplate of righteousness, and God states that righteousness is our breastplate. Now, again, all three of these statements are in the middle voice passive tense. All right, so again, it means last week we learned that the belt we need to put it on ourselves, and it needs to be put on before the battle starts. And now he says having on the breastplate of righteousness. All right, we need to put it on ourselves, and we need to put it on before the battle. All right, so it's important we see this. Now, it is not our righteousness. It's Christ's righteousness, but we need to put it on. And we're going to see how that works here in just a moment. Now, the righteousness is a state of being right with God. You know, when you think of a great big word, righteousness, it talks about it's the state of being right with God. Now, there's two ways of looking at this word righteousness in the Bible, and I don't want us to get confused. We're going to look at both of them tonight, and hopefully we can clear up any confusion in your minds, because people that have wrongly understood this twist around salvation to make it something that it's not. And so hopefully I can describe it here clearly for us. But just remember, righteousness that he's talking about here is not my righteousness, not your righteousness. It's Christ's righteousness. It's God's righteousness that he's putting on us. And he applies it to us. All right, now, first of all, righteousness comes from and is enabled by God. All right, it comes from God and it's enabled by God. All right, so it's God's righteousness. When God looks at us, he doesn't see our righteousness because we have none. Remember what the Bible says, all we are like sheep have gone astray. It says that there's none righteous, no, not one. Not one of us is righteous. Nobody's righteous. So none of us have any righteousness to be able to stand before God and say, "Lord, look at all the good things I've done." God says, the best we can do, our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Even the very best we do are like dirty, stinky rags. And so God says our righteousness doesn't count. So that's not going to help us in the time of battle. You know, Satan comes to you and tries to tempt you. You say, "Oh, Satan, look at all my righteousness." He's just going to laugh. Your righteousness and my righteousness have got nothing to defend us with. That's no power at all. But we put on Christ's righteousness and then we've got his protection. So God made us righteous the day we got saved. If you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the moment you got saved, he made you righteous. Now there's a couple of different ways that we can describe this righteousness. It is justifying righteousness or imputed righteousness. Justifying righteousness. Now remember, justify means to make it perfectly clean or perfectly forgiven, cleansed. So when you got saved, there was justifying righteousness applied to you. God took Jesus Christ's righteousness and put it on you when you got saved and said, "Now I don't see your filthy righteousness anymore. I see my pure righteousness. I see God's pure righteousness because I washed you clean and I gave you my righteousness," and we can wear his righteousness. Now, the justifying righteousness or the imputed righteousness is something you never, ever will lose. All right, you don't have to work to keep it. You never earned it. You got it by faith in Christ and you'll never lose it. Now, it's important we understand that because a number of years ago, probably 15 years ago, there were some people coming to our church that believe they came from a church background that taught that you're saved by grace through faith, but you better hang on tight because if you don't, you'll lose it. Well, that means, you know, God gave me his righteousness, but then I got to be really good and I got to try really hard to keep it. Well, listen, if you can't get saved by your own righteousness, you certainly can't keep saved by your righteousness. That's hopeless. So that's not what we're talking about here tonight. This righteousness, this justifying righteousness, or this imputed, the word imputed means to be applied to your account. God came down and when you got saved and he took his righteousness and put it on you and made you righteous because of his righteousness, what he did for you. Jesus paid for all my sins. He took all my sins upon him and he replaced them with his righteousness. And he did the same for you if you know Christ as your Savior. And so that is imputed righteousness, justifying righteousness that God gave it. And that means that he freed us from all guilt. That's important for us to understand. So when the devil comes in a time of temptation and says, remember those things you did, God will never forgive you. You need to just remember God's righteousness and say, I've got my righteous armor on and I know Jesus forgave me for all that. All that's under the blood, it's forgiven, it's gone. And we can be protected from his attacks because of the righteousness of Christ that we wear, because of our salvation. So important we see this. Our sins, our past sins are gone. And resting in this fact will protect us as a breastplate protects us. So there's times that Satan will come and try to get you to doubt your salvation, or he may come and try to get you to think about the bad things that you did before you got saved, or think about something else that was taken care of by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you need to just stand firm and rest in God's righteousness. God said he made us righteous. Now, a few verses that you might want to jot down that will help you with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God made Christ become sin for me that he might be able to make me righteous. He gave me his righteousness at salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Also, Psalm 103 verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far as to remove our transgressions from us. The east and the west. You know, you can go east and east and east and east, and you can keep going east for the rest of eternity, and you'll never go west. Because east and west never cross. They just keep going. And he says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Our sins are gone. When he saved us, he washed us clean, he took away our sins, he justified us, and he made us righteous. He made us righteous. He gave us his righteousness. Romans chapter 5, verse number 9. Romans 5, 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Being justified, made perfectly clean by the blood of Jesus, we're saved from wrath through him. We don't have to go through the tribulation. We don't have to worry about going to hell. We're saved from wrath through Christ because of what he did for us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. He says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? If you're saved, you're one of God's elect, one of those who he has saved. And he says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who's going to come to you and say, you are guilty, you're going to have to go to hell for that? He says, nobody can do that because it is God that justifies. God justified us. And so when Satan comes and accuses us and said, that's going to take you to hell, you can say, no, it won't, because Jesus Christ paid for that. It's under the blood. It's taken care of. God washed me clean. I am redeemed, and I am bought with the blood of Christ. I am righteous in the sight of God. So that is our righteousness, our positional righteousness, that justifying righteousness that we got at salvation. But there's another kind of righteousness. And this one's harder to explain without becoming confused. So bear with me and I'll try to make it clear. Justifying righteousness makes it possible to stay right with God day by day. All right? You can stay right with God every day if you have been made righteous by the blood of Christ. But you cannot stay right with God at all if you haven't been made right by the blood of Christ. So what we're talking about here is a saved person can stay right with God if he will do what God asks him to do. He can stay right now. That doesn't have anything to do with whether he's going to heaven or losing this. Remember, the first righteousness we're talking about is permanent. All right, your positional righteousness with God is permanent. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about right now, except that it is that which gets you into this other opportunity. Without being made righteous, you can't stay righteous. All right? Now that's kind of complicated, but it's not really, because it's like you cannot become righteous or stay righteous if you aren't righteous to begin with. Right? So we're made righteous by the blood of Christ, and this righteousness that we're talking about now is the ability to stay right with God. And it's not our own efforts alone, but it's God. It's us allowing God to keep us righteous. Allowing God to keep us righteous. And again, I'm not talking about that first righteousness. That is never changes. That is permanent. But day by day, you can either live right with God or not right with God. Isn't that right? Every day, today, throughout this day, you either lived a life that was right with God or wasn't right with God. Now, it doesn't have anything to do with whether you're saved or not. It doesn't have anything to do with that. But if you lived a life that was right with God, then you lived a righteous life today. If you lived a life that wasn't right with God today, then you lived an unrighteous life today. But it doesn't change your righteous standing if you are a Christian. You're still a Christian, but you can have a Christian that is right with God and a Christian that's not right with God. Right? That's what we're talking about. In order for you to be a Christian that is right with God, we need sanctifying righteousness. Sanctifying righteousness. Now, this sanctifying righteousness is the God-given ability to stay right with God through daily obedience to God. It is the God-given ability to stay right with God through daily obedience to God. So if you will daily obey God, God will give you the ability to stay right with Him. And I put it in those terms because we can't do it in our strength. It isn't just a matter of me saying, now today I'm going to be really good. I'm not going to say anything bad. I'm not going to think any bad thoughts. I'm not going to do anything I shouldn't do. I'm going to be good. Well, that's nice. But in my own strength, I'll probably fail because I don't have the strength to do it myself. If I had the strength to do that, then I don't need Jesus to be my Savior because I could have done it myself. But I can't, and neither can you. So we need God's help to do what is right and to stay right with God. We find a few examples of things that will help us understand this. Philippians chapter 1, verse 11 says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. So the Spirit of God, one of the things that He does as He works in us is He fills us with the fruits of righteousness. Remember the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those are fruits that He produces in our life. Fruit is something that grows on a tree. Fruit of the Spirit is something that grows in our life as we yield to Him. As we allow God to work in us, He can produce His fruit in our life. And one of those fruits is the fruits of righteousness. He will enable us then to live right with God so that we have a right attitude and a right heart and a right mouth and a right thoughts, and all these things are right in our life because I stay close to God and the fruits of righteousness are produced in my life. Now, again, it has nothing to do with whether I'm going to heaven, right? That was settled when I got saved. But this has to do with whether I'm right with God right now. Right? Whether I'm walking in a way that is pleasing and right with God. Philippians chapter 1, verse 11. Now, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 9 says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and in truth. He says the fruit of the Spirit is in righteousness. So again, the fruits that the Spirit produces in my life, if I'm walking with God, one of those fruits is righteousness, a right relationship with God. And that's what we need and want in our lives, is to have a right relationship with God. Now, if we have a right relationship with God, and we're walking close to God, if you're walking in the light close to God, you've got nothing to fear when the Satan tries to attack, because God's right there to protect you. And He's there like a breastplate of righteousness. Christ's righteousness in your life is there to protect you from all the darts of the devil that tries to come after you, because you are right with God and you are righteous before God. So both the positional righteousness that we got when we got saved helps to protect us when he tries to get us to think that we weren't really forgiven, but also our daily righteousness, walking close to God so that we're living a right life, protects us too. Because you know what happens? If we get away from God and we start doing things we shouldn't do, thinking things we shouldn't say, saying things, and we get in a fight with somebody, we get in an argument, we get angry, whatever the situation may be, and we're not right with God, Satan comes along and he beats on us and we got no protection. Because we're not right with God. But when we're walking with the Lord and we're right with God and we're close to Him, then we're protected by His righteousness. And again, it's not my righteousness. He enables me to be right when I yield to Him. And He gives me this protection, this righteousness, when I do what is right in His sight. And so it works hand in hand. Now, how do we put this all on? I've kind of gone into it a little bit, but we'll talk about it a little bit more here. We must rest in God's righteous, justifying righteousness. We talked about that as well. The saving that took place when we got saved, that justifying righteousness is a fact. It's a fact we need to remember. It is a fact that we need to remember. I was saved and God gave me His righteousness. That settles it. I was made righteous by God the day I got saved. And I will always stand before God as one of His righteous children. But that doesn't mean that I'm always going to be right with God day by day in my personal walk. Because in my personal walk, I can stray away. It's like the original righteousness, the justifying righteousness, brought me into God's family. And that was part of my salvation when I got saved. And I never lose that. But day by day, if I get away from God and start straying, then I'm not walking in righteousness. And there's where I get into trouble. So I need to rest in the facts of my righteousness. Psalm 32 verse 1 says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered." If you want God's blessing and peace in your heart, He says, "Blessed is a man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." When you got saved, God washed you clean, gave you His righteousness. You can be at peace with that. And you can say, "I know I'm saved. I know I've got peace with God because I trusted Christ as my Savior." That's settled. It's a fact. Isaiah 1:18 says, Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. All right, so he said that our sins are red. They're stained with all the bad things we've done. But he says that God will make them white as snow, white like wool, when we come to Christ. That's our position before God. That is our justifying righteousness. So we can claim that, and we need to rest in that. And when Satan comes and starts beating on you about some past sin, you need to just remind him that you've been made righteous by Christ. That was under the blood. It's done. It's forgiven. Now, unfortunately, I wish that we could just in our minds, you know, when God forgives us a sin, I wish we could just push a delete button and it's gone. And you never think of it and see it again. But Satan, he's quick to come back there and say, "Hey, I still see that there." And we need to say, "Yeah, it's there, but it's under the blood of Jesus." And, you know, he delights in doing that. I don't know how many scores of times Satan comes to me and says, "Yeah, what about that? What about this? Remember that time you did that? Hey, it's all under the blood. I've gotten it right with God. I'm forgiven. I'm cleansed." And the memory's still there. I wish it wasn't, but it is. But we've got to claim that when the devil attacks. So that's part of our righteousness armor, is to rest in the fact of our salvation and the righteousness we got there. But also we need to keep our lives righteous in a practical sense, practical righteousness, this sanctifying righteousness, this continual process righteousness by staying right with God. Staying right with God. See, all this armor, it all works together. We need to stay right with God. And you know, that is the way the whole Christian life is about. This spiritual armor is really basically, it's just summing up how to be right with God. Because if you're not right with God, you don't have His armor on. But if you are right with God, you've got His armor on. And so we need to stay close to God. Now here's some reminders of how to do this. We need to make sure that we let Him cleanse our daily sins and confess and forsake them. You know, every day we need to come to the Lord and say, "Lord, search me and try me. Know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. Have I done anything in the last 24 hours that displeased you? Did I think something I shouldn't think, or say something, or have a bad attitude, or did I get angry in my heart? Did I do something that displeased you, God? Bring it to my mind." And when He does, humble yourself and confess it and forsake it. You say, "God, would you please forgive me?" And God will do that. I don't know how many times I've asked God to reveal something. I couldn't think of anything, and all of a sudden He starts bringing things back to my mind. Oh yeah, that one. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry about that, God. That wasn't right either. And He'll bring something else back. And God will do that if you ask Him. He'll bring things back to your mind. When you said something out of line or you thought something you shouldn't, He'll bring it to you if you ask Him to. And then you get it right with Him and you can have a clean heart. And so part of staying right with God is keeping our sins confessed. Like 1 John 1:9 tells us, we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And remember, I pointed this out before, if God cleanses us from all unrighteousness, the only thing left is righteousness. He takes away all the unrighteousness, the dirt, and all that's left is righteousness. Because the righteousness that is left is what we got at salvation. Remember that. You'll never lose that. But we need to keep that righteousness clean. And keeping the righteousness that we got at salvation clean is our daily walk with God. And so we're left with righteousness if we confess our sin. We also need to stay close to God by just that walk with God. Our Bible time. That little paper I passed out this morning about a flourishing walk with God. If you'll study that and walk in that light, you will have a greater life. It'll help you. It'll strengthen you. It'll build you up. Because that is the close walk with God that we need. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. You know, that verse, I've still got to do some more meditating on that verse. But it seems like He said, and the blood of Jesus Christ shall cleanse you from all sin. In other words, if I'm going to have my sins forgiven, if I'm going to have my sins cleansed, I've got to get close to God to do that. You can't be over here in the bushes, in the weeds, away from God in sin, and say, oh God, I'm sorry, please forgive me, but I want to stay right here. It doesn't work that way. In order to get your sins forgiven, you're going to have to come close to God and get on your knees before Him and say, Lord, I was wrong. And so you get close to God, and that's why He says that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, because we're close to Him. So He can cleanse us. But if we're off there by ourselves in the weeds of sin, it doesn't work. So we've got to be close to God. And then staying right with God is staying in harmony with the Holy Spirit. You know, ask Him to lead you. It's important for us to talk to the Holy Spirit and just say, Holy Spirit, please lead me today. Help me to produce fruit in my life. Help me to live a life that You can produce fruit in me. I guess that would be a better way of putting it. So that my life doesn't hinder You from producing fruit in me. You know, for years, I used to pray, God, please empower me as I preach Your word tonight. And you know, the more I think about that, I think that's a wrong way to pray. And here's why. Because if God looks down at my life and there's something in my life that shouldn't be there, and I say, God, please empower me, God's going to say, I can't. I can't. What I really need to say is, God, is there anything standing between me and You that is hindering You from empowering me tonight? And if there is, God, convict me of it so I can get it right so that You can empower me as I speak. And you know, that's the same for all of us. It isn't just for preachers, but it's for you as you go to work or as you go to school or as you're with your family or your friends, that you need to say, God, would You please help me to stay close to You so that I can be empowered by You to walk with You and live for You and love You and to serve You in a way so that I can have this righteousness in my life. And then staying right with God by proving all things, as we mentioned this morning. You know, I strongly encourage you, if you've not done it yet, please try to memorize. Don't just try, just do it. Memorize 1 Thessalonians 5, 21-22. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. That is really, in a nutshell, that is at the core of staying right with God. It really is. Because we need to, everything we do in life, we need to test it. And we need to say, this passed, this didn't pass. Hold fast the things that do pass. Push away the things that don't pass. And it'll make a great difference in our life. So the breastplate of righteousness. This breastplate of righteousness is God's righteousness. We got righteousness when we got saved. And that's something we'll never lose. That is a fact. And so when Satan attacks us regarding our salvation or regarding past sins that have been forgiven, we have that righteousness as a shield to protect us. But also, as you walk with the Lord and stay close to the Lord, you have a daily shield of righteousness. Not your righteousness, but Christ's righteousness around you because you've been forgiven. Remember He said, if I'll forgive you from all unrighteousness, and He'll put His righteousness around us and wrap us with His righteousness when we get right with Him day by day. And then we're clothed in His righteousness to protect us when Satan tries to come and get us to do wrong. But we've got the righteousness of God around us because we got right with God. All right? So there's two kinds of righteousness, and I don't want you to confuse them, because we're not earning righteousness with God. We don't live right so we can stay right with right relationship with God so that we can stay saved. It has nothing to do with our salvation. Salvation settled it for our positional righteousness, our imputed righteousness, our justifying righteousness will settle the salvation. But day by day, you can be a righteous person before God as a Christian. Remember, a good example is Lot. God tells us in the New Testament that Lot was a righteous man. Did Lot live a righteous life? No, he didn't. Lot lived a very unrighteous life. But he was a righteous man. Because he was right with God in the sense that he had placed his faith in God that saved his soul. But he was not living a righteous life. He lived in Sodom. He lived amongst all kinds of filth and garbage and of sin. So he wasn't righteous in the way that he lived, but he was righteous before God because he had placed his faith in God. Now, so there's those two kinds of righteousness. So let's, if we get saved, we've got the fact of righteousness, that justifying righteousness. And if we walk with God day by day, then we can have He'll wrap us in His righteousness each day. When we come before Him and we get clean and we confess our sin and get right with God and we read the Word of God and fill our soul with the Word and we walk in the Spirit and we let Him take control of our life and we walk in the way that He wants to in the light of God and we have fellowship with Him, one with another, He says then He's wrapping us with His clothes of righteousness around us and protecting us from the dangers of the devil. And we need that armor of righteousness day by day. And so I encourage you to take these things to heart and let God place His righteousness around you. So we need to put on the belt of truth. It's your choice to put on God's belt of truth. And it's also your choice to put on the shield of righteousness. Because you might be able to say, I got saved, so that's all I need. Well, that's part of the righteousness that you need. But you need the daily being right with God. And you got to choose that. God will wrap you around with His righteousness, but you got to let Him. And if you don't confess your sin and come close to Him, He can't do it. So you've got to do that as well. And it needs to be done before the battle starts, because you get out in the battle, it's a little late to run and say, oh, please cover me with my righteousness because I'm in trouble now. And it's a hard then. But before we face the battle, it's the time to deal with it.